Welcome to the 134th episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast.
134th?
Yeah, that's how you say it, right?
Yeah.
Not the 131st, the 134th.
Yes. Forrest Whitaker.
Yes, and I'm joined by Mark Davis. I'm Quizmaster Lee. I forgot to say that.
Hello, Lee. How are you?
I'm doing well. And we're just hot off the heels of a podcast recording session for Lyrics to Go.
Yeah.
You were kind enough to have me on a guest with our guest today, Seth.
Hey-o!
Yeah, Seth is the other host of
the
Lyrics to Go.
Seth, hey-o.
Now, we did introduce Lyrics to Go, I think, before it came on around episode 125 of the No-No.
When the you first were on public mention.
Last time, yeah. So now you've had a few episodes
on the
out.
No-No.
Yes.
You've had a few episodes out.
I think we got 5 or 6 episodes out.
Mm-hmm.
Five. You are our first guest.
Right. And we won't spoil the song, I don't think. But it's a doozy. It's
we'll let it simmer.
Yeah. It's the first song, I think, that has inspired one of you guys to have such a visceral response. Mm-hmm. Seth had to get up in the middle of it. And he claimed that the lyrics were the problem.
They were.
Yeah.
They were.
Lyrics
to make you go.
Yeah.
It's to make you go.
And I don't know if it's a coincidence, but I had to go after we stopped recording, too. So I think.
It was musical laxative.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a aperitif.
Mm-hmm. So you guys have done a couple songs now. You've done Jane by Jefferson Starship.
That was fun.
1 Week by the Bare Naked Ladies.
That was difficult.
What has been your favorite episode that's been on the air so far? That if you were to, I mean, obviously go listen to all of them. They're very short in comparison to No-No episodes. So you can probably do like 2 or 3 in the time it would take you to listen to a No-No episode. But is there one that you've enjoyed the most so far?
Recording or listening to the ones that have come out?
Yeah.
I think, maybe the most recent one, 1 Week, was the one I think I was the most proud of. I think that was it was the most quality. It was the most revealing. I mean, we really stripped the Bare Naked Ladies out of their skivvies and really exposed them for the unsacred Canadians that they are.
Well, you guys highlighted some stuff in that song that I had never picked up on before listening
to
that.
That's what we're here for.
And I think that is a value of your podcast, because there is some mental math going on in that about like the calendar dates and stuff. And I had just taken it at face value. But you guys did a really good job of like breaking that song down. So
thank you. Yeah, talking about Sailor Moon making you think the wrong thing has always kind of stood out to me as being a little bit creepy, a little bit weird.
Yeah,
like what do you mean make you think the wrong? And you're talking about high school girls in an anime, like
right?
You
don't know the show and that's bad, or you do know what you're talking about. That's even
it's
worse.
Really, really, really bad. Yeah,
and
Heart episode. Oh, all yeah. I want to do may be one of my favorite. You know, especially when there's a lot of stuff written about a song, but that song has always been one of my favorite songs to point out to people. Like we all have like some information in our back pocket, especially in the trivia world, that whenever something gets mentioned somewhere, you're like, ooh, I got something juicy for you, you know, and being able to impart some wisdom or whatever. And that song for me has long been my, you know, this song. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I'm about to spoil this for you. So being able to put that out into a podcast was a lot of fun. And, you know, some of the stuff that was written about it was very, very funny, like reading some of the reviews and just kind of going through it line by line. It was a very, very funny.
Jane from Stefferson Jarship was one that there's more the spooner for Mark, the mooner for Spark. That was a good one too, because I grew up with it so much. I think I've heard that one more than just about any of the others. And when I was able to talk to people of my ilk, AKA age, and point out to them things of the songs that they hadn't heard before. And I love hearing the first 15 seconds of that song. I still do. I like it so much. I enjoyed that one. That was number one, wasn't it?
No, the stroke was number one.
Stroke was number one.
To be honest with you, like every time I think of like, so we recorded them out of the order that we released. And the first one we recorded was Fuck With Dre Day.
Yes.
Which was an absolute joy for me.
Yeah, great episode.
I thought it was a lot of fun.
It was
they're all
fun.
Good.
The first one was a lot of fun. I smiled the whole way through.
I feel weird saying that they're good or they're bad, but I will say they are fun as hell to record. And just like I felt about the No Nonsense Trivia podcast when we started almost 3 years ago.
Wow.
You know, awesome. It's like I have so much fun doing it. I don't care if people listen or not. It's just so much fun to do. It's conversations that I would like to have with my friends anyway, just recorded, and it's nice to be able to put it out there. But you know, of course, it's always more fun when people listen and write in and put, you know, their 2 cents in. So
and Chickada Chuck Chuck the Chinese Chicken.
Absolutely. And that laugh you heard, that sweet, sweet laugh, was Lee's beautiful. I'll do the job. I'll do the work for you.
Thank you.
Beautiful and talented.
Watch it, Mark.
Vivacious
Lee's
wife
right here.
Hello.
He ain't wrong.
Kyle Ann, how are you, Kyle?
I'm great. I'm back.
Good. And we're gonna have Kyle Ann on the Lyrics to Go podcast at some point. Yeah. She's got a song.
I got
in the
a
chamber.
Song picked out. I'm like so. Don't, ex-
I I'm, know.
I'm not gonna say what it is. I'm just very excited about it. Okay. And I gotta say, like, I thoroughly enjoyed that. I Just Want to Make Love to You episode. I had never heard that song before, and like Lee saw like my live reaction.
You've never heard that song.
I've never
before.
Heard that song before. Wow. And like when like you went through the lyrics, I was like, what? Like,
perfect.
Yeah, it really does. You know,
what did you think of that Aqualung appearance?
Yes, that was hilarious.
Yes. What is he, Aqualung?
Sitting on a park bench. Sitting
on a park. She fucked Aqualung.
It's funny because like I think it's like I've mentioned it to like a few of our friends, but like Lee and I are like trying to have a baby, and like so now it's just really funny to be like, I am the flower.
Yes. You are the seed.
Yes.
I did drop that line on her after we watched the rest of the episode.
Is there some times where you get to be the flower, Lee? Is there other times?
That's a great idea.
Yeah, you should try.
I think when we start, that, you know, if things start getting stale, then I can be the flower and you can be the seed.
Yeah. I am the seed.
Mm-hmm. Well, you do know that the best thing about kids is making them.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the movie Kids.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Butterscotch. That's my favorite part.
Did you guys happen to see we're recording on the day after Larry King passed away?
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And yeah. There is a video of the two women from Broad City. Yes, big rip. Even though he's married like 8 times. I don't know. I haven't done a lot of digging into how problematic he was, but I have a feeling he probably was.
Well, he was 87, Mark. So, yeah. I mean, just by age. He lived during problematic times.
Exactly.
He's going to have some guy called Jerry Seinfeld on this week.
He's. Did you see the Jerry Seinfeld thing?
I did, yeah.
Okay, so the Jerry Seinfeld clip, if you haven't seen it, he's talking to Jerry Seinfeld, and he's like, so how long did your show last? He's like, 9 seasons. And he's like, did you get canceled? And Jerry Seinfeld's like, are you asking me if we got canceled? That's the biggest show in television. And he's so mad. He's like...
He was visibly irritated. About? It was great. Yeah.
He's like, do you do any research?
I was just going to say, Mark, that in honor of Larry King, we're not doing any of our research for tonight's No. We're not going to do it.
No, so okay.
There's also a clip where he's talking to the two women. I can't remember their names off the Alana Glazer
and Abby Jacobson.
Abby Jacobson, yes.
Thank you. And he had them on, and he's asking them about certain language that they use in the TV show that he doesn't understand. And he's like, pegging? And Alana Glazer gets to say it's when a woman puts on a strap on and penetrates a man in his butt. And he's like, oh, okay. Like, you know, yeah. He's like, you can see him.
So where does the peg come in?
Visibly shaken. He's like, it's called pegging?
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah. And he's like, okay, never mind. We'll move on.
Listeners, if you're concerned about what happens next now that Larry King has died, don't worry. The legislative, executive, and judicial branch will continue to run the United States. He was really more of a figurehead than an actual ruler, Larry King.
Yes, yeah.
His suspenders were holding up America, not just entertainment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the monarchy now goes down to the Larry Queen. And then we go from there, the Larry Prince.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that was in 2000 when the U.S. briefly experimented with monarchy. That's why he's a figurehead now.
It was actually supposed to go to Charlie Rose, but thank God he abdicated.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, what a mess. Yeah. All right. Well, we got a quiz here for y'all listeners today.
Y'all.
Yep, y'all listeners. Listen up. Got some categories. I did do some research, I'll admit. Yeah, fuck Larry King.
Shame on you.
No. Damn. The categories that I got for you for today's quiz would be pseudonyms, single term U.S. presidents, Middle East geography, rock music, and classic novels.
There we go. Please, Lee or Seth,
whoever I am.
Yeah, whatever your name is.
I have my categories this evening will be medical anomalies. Football. Yep, I'm sorry. I'm going to flex my Quizmaster muscles. So sorry. I don't get this kind of power early. I'm drunk with power tonight. Old shit and old songs.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I don't really know. Years, I'll probably do a movies question. I might do a Bible question.
Ooh. Oh, I know the Bible.
Oh, do you?
Oh,
yeah. So does Seth. So we're good there.
I hope so.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, there's ones that that's I've my that Mark
I went asked. To ECS. We were brainwashed, man.
Damn. And then, I don't know, maybe another music question. I don't know, but I got a fun last question, I think. So it's going to be a little bit of a crapshoot. I got to feel you guys out.
Crap.
Yeah, cool. We're dealing with a heavy. I don't know about you guys, but as far as your questions are concerned, mm-hmm. Kyle's smart, Seth wicked smart, Lee. I'm worried about my questions.
Well, don't sweat it too much. Before we get to it, let's go over a weekly wrap up.
All right.
On Wednesday at Pointy Bell Brewing Company, three teams of the 10 we had playing in-house won overall. Snowbirds took the first round. That was their team name, not just me offering a pejorative of describing them. They took the first round on a tie that was settled by our celebrity and historical figure birthday bonus round. The second round went to family team Parrish Martin, while the third and overall quiz victory went to Pointy Bell's highest scoring ever team and our first ever repeat winners at the venue, No Nonsense Trivia Trivia Registered Team number 420, Team Yikes. Congrats to them.
Team Yikes.
They also said that the questions were too hard, which I always find suspicious coming from the winning team. Mm. I mean, you won. How much harder do you want these questions to be?
That is suspect.
They won with 82 points. Our top online player was proverbial lightkeeper Matt.
Matt killed this week.
111 points.
Damn!
So maybe Team Yikes should be thankful that Matt was in the room.
And this was Pointy
harder
Bell.
Questions.
Oh, pointy.
No. Point E Bell.
Anoint my head. Anointy.
Mark, how did your trivia go at Nice Guys Pizza on Wednesday evening?
It went well. We had a team called Team Birthday that won the first and second round. First round with 24 points. Second round with 32 points. We had a team comprised of some friends who were accusing them of cheating, but honestly, they didn't do super well. The second round, they only got two questions right, and their wager question they got wrong. So it was another one of those cases of not necessarily like they were doing super well, it's that everyone else was doing really poorly. The last round went to the team Manky Banksters with 43 points winning the night. They were very pumped about that. Online, we saw the return of the usual suspect.
Oh! Where's he been?
He's been a busy
Ian Anderson.
Boy.
Donde has estado?
Wrong.
Ian Anderson,
say?
I love his work.
I meant Zerber.
Yeah, we were just talking about Jethro Tull. So he played Whiskey Tango, winning online with 79 points. And then Meg Staten, who is a no-nonsense listener, Ian Tishuk. Or Evan Tishuk, sorry. Evan Tishuk played with her and a bunch of other family members. And they had a lot of fun. They
played
were very, very fun
her.
To have along. So that was very, very awesome. Proverbial Lightkeeper Matt with 44 points. And Ian with 49 points, having a pretty good night. He was he was kicking it. So good times.
Right on. On Thursday, we held our dual quiz virtual trivia night on Twitch. Quiz number 105 saw 20 players compete, with Molly B. Twitching winning the quiz. That would be the Bort family, earning their fourth quiz victory ever with 114,208 points. Mappy 1984 was the winner of our second quiz of the night, earning 129,759 points. Our audio round had our players naming the speaker. Famous narrators, our audio category for the evening. Grantastic Glenn squeaked out a close victory over Whiskey Tango, winning with 178,756 points. Just 500 point difference there between the two. So Whiskey Tango very close, but Grantastic Glenn being able to name the narrators.
Damn!
If you want to play No Nonsense Trivia live this week, you have a few opportunities to do so. This Wednesday, January 27th, we're back at Pointy Bell Brewing Company in Fort Myers, Florida. Categories for the quiz include Harry Potter, Major League Baseball, music and movies of the 70s and 2000s, TV shows such as South Park, Grey's Anatomy, Game of Thrones, and more. If you're not in Southwest Florida and can't make it out, we'll also be streaming the quiz on Twitch on Wednesday at 7:30 at Pointy Bell, January 27th. More details in the show notes on that. If you're in the Cape, you can play Mark Davis's trivia on Wednesdays at Nice Guys Pizza.
What up?
Or you can play that on Zoom. That starts at 8 p.m.
Up what?
And Thursday, January 28th, we're back on Twitch for our weekly virtual trivia night. I'll be asking questions with topics including 90s sports and music, famous queens, world history, comics, condiments, continents, and more. Come play and get your name on our leaderboard and you can request categories for next week's virtual quiz. We start at 8 p.m. on Twitch on Thursday. You can follow us at twitch.tv/nononsensetrivia to get a notification for that. And please don't forget to follow No Nonsense Trivia on social media, including Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Reddit. And join us on our Discord server to stay updated on all of our podcasts, streams, and events. Join us.
Won't you?
I think they're going to join us based on that.
Yeah.
There's some sort of harmonic convergence there.
But that didn't sound like it.
No, that was me. I'll take the credit for the off note.
You guys change the interval every time.
Anyway. Well, yeah, we gotta mix it up a little bit.
And we never plan it out. We just go.
Do we want to try and build a chord?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know what to do.
Somebody has to go
sing a note.
I gotta sing last because I'm the harmony queen. So
can I go first because I don't know what I'm doing?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Won't you?
Beautiful.
Ah,
that's how a chord works.
Wow.
That was a major triad.
Lee just realized what a chord is.
I got to be the Don Henley on that one.
Doesn't that feel good?
That sounded great. Yeah. Yeah, I got chills up my spine. Oh my gosh. All right. Well, how about we take a break and then we'll come back for some questions in round one.
Sounds good.
Right, we're back, and I have a pseudonym question for you guys. Cinnamon.
I feel like with the three of us, anything's possible.
Yeah, I think I don't want to jinx it, but I think you guys are going to do pretty well on this quiz.
Okay.
Here's the question.
We're squeezing each other from afar.
Wolf Haley is a pseudonym used by what Grammy Award-winning rapper, actor, and comedian? Who was born in 1991. Wolf Haley is a pseudonym used by what Grammy Award-winning rapper, actor, and comedian who was born in 1991?
Do you know it, Mark?
No, do you?
Yes.
What about Reggie?
Oh, do you?
Is it Reggie Watts? No, he's older than me.
No.
My guess was Childish Gambino.
No.
No, he's older than me, too, I think. 91. Rapper, comedian. I was also thinking Drake, but he's not a comedian.
No.
I mean, I think he's hilarious for different reasons. Right. But
he's goofy.
Yeah.
He's a goofball.
Is Pete Davidson a rapper?
He did do that recent Eminem thing that I think Eminem said he liked on SNL, the Stan thing. Did you see that?
No. And he's an actor and comedian.
Yeah.
But you said you know who it is, Seth, so I don't know.
Yes, I do. I do.
Go ahead and give it to us.
Golf Wang.
You know, so is it Tyler?
That's him.
Well,
Tyler the Creator?
There you go.
I love Tyler the Creator.
Actor, huh?
Yep.
He had that series on Adult Swim that was called...
Loiter Squad.
Loiter Squad, yep.
Yes, it was good. Him and Jasper Dolphin and Mike and Taco and Sid the Dude.
Well, you know, it's funny because when you said I probably would have gotten there because I kept thinking of Wolfgang.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Golf Wang.
Golf Wang, a spoonerism. Wolf.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. A reference to Tyler's crew, Odd Future, Wolfgang, Kill 'Em All.
Odd Future.
He mentions Wolf Haley on his breakout 2011 song Yonkers. And his second studio album released in 2013 was titled Wolf, which is a concept album that puts the character at the center of a story of a, it's like a romantic triangle type thing.
Mm-hmm.
So,
All right, here's your first question for me.
Damn good group.
I guess I think this Bible question is too easy.
Try me.
Between you and Seth, you're going to know it. I'll just do it anyway. Known as the miracle of the 5 loaves and 2 fish, you're just nothing. You're never good at religious stuff.
I think I already know the answer to this, but continue.
Known as the miracle
just put me in my place. He didn't even finish reading the question. He's like, fuck you.
You're nothing.
Sit down.
Known as the miracle of the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and the only miracle Jesus performed that is recorded in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. How many people does Jesus feed?
Yeah, he's right. I don't know.
Wasn't it just a multitude? Well, the multitudes.
No, there was a number.
There was a number.
Yeah.
I don't remember the number.
I think it was Jesus Feeds the 5,000.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sunday. Jesus feeds the 5,000.
Somebody only brought two fish and a couple of loaves, and Jesus wound up turning all of those into food for everybody. Show up this weekend as he makes a big pot of chili. Holy shit, Jesus has got fish. He's got bread.
I'm cutting the bread. So is that the answer you want to go with?
I think it's 5,000. I'm pretty sure it's 5,000. I'm not 100% sure.
Maybe it's 500.
Maybe it's 500. It might be. So what do we go with? 5,000 or 500?
How about Lee's expertise?
Maybe it's 300. This is Bethlehem!
Kick someone down the well.
That was our water. This is fishes! What do you think? 500?
500? It's not 300?
I mean, were there 5,000 people in Israel
exactly,
at that time?
Exactly. That's why I'm thinking. I think it was 500.
All right, so we'll go with 500 then.
Do you feel confident about 5,000?
I think it's 5. I don't know if it's 500 or 5,000, but it was 5. 5, I'm pretty sure, was the first digit.
500 is impressive, but 5,000 is great. That's a great number of people.
It could be 2,000.
Thousands, like, if I was, like, you know, trying to impress somebody with the story of Jesus, I'd that be like, don't thousands.
Don't impress a mean much.
500 people.
So you fed 500 people. Well, that don't impress me.
Skylar does that on a Monday. All right.
So what? I fed Brad Pitt. What do we go with? 500, 2,000, 5,000?
5,000.
5 billion.
$1 million.
5,000 sounds like a lot. Yeah. But also, if you're writing about it as like a fantastical story, which is what the Bible is, guys. 5,000 is like a big ass number to be like, look at how fucking cool this is. It's 5,000 people.
It is. The Bible,
B-A-N.
You know?
The Bible strove to be cool.
Big ass number. B-A-N. So.
I mean, yeah, it's gnarly. There's all kinds of like crazy shit in the Bible.
Gnarly.
I mean,
so what do you think?
Oh, man. I don't know.
The first thing that popped into my head was 5,000.
Then let's just go with 5,000.
All right, let's go with 5,000. 5,000.
5,000 is correct.
Okay. Yeah.
So, yeah, the miracle of the 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now, he also did feed another multitude of 4,000 with 7 loaves and, quote, a few small fish.
It's like the stimulus checks. The number keeps going down.
Damn.
It's less people and more bread and fish. But, yeah, the miracle of the 5,000 is the only, like I said, it is the only miracle that is recorded in both in all of Matthew, mm-hmm. Mark, Luke, and John.
Oh,
and basically said that he gave
them. Those are my brothers, by the way.
Yes, he gave the bread and the fish to his apostles, and when everybody ate a little bit of it, and everybody felt satisfied. So it's one of his
It was 5,000, and then Bernie Sanders showed up. Jesus, we got all these goyim showing up,
and sitting all cranky in the background on his chair with his mittens.
They heard about the free food. You gotta produce.
All right, Bernie, why don't you ask us a question?
Oh, is it my turn?
It is.
Okay. You know what? This, when I wrote these, I didn't know that you were going to be here tonight, Kyle. And I think that ladies are going to be able to answer this a lot easier. They're going to be more quick to answer this correctly than a couple of
these
dudes.
Chumps.
These dudes.
These losers.
So we're gonna give it a second. Yeah. We're gonna give this to them first because you might know it right off the bat. What is happening if you are hirsute?
Do you know this?
No.
Oh.
Do you know this?
No.
Okay.
I think I do.
Can you spell it?
H-I-R-S-U-T-E.
I think that refers to, how specific do I need to get here? Just go with my gut?
Just go.
I'm going to suss with you guys. I think this is related to hair. I don't know if it's like hair all over the body. Or hair, maybe on the face, you know, like lip hair.
What does
hair suit?
I don't think it has anything to do with
hair. Like you're suited with hair.
I think you're being very literal.
What happens when you are hirsute?
I think I'm right.
Do you?
It's not spelled the same, but I think it
how
has
is that
the same
gender
meaning.
Specific?
Well, I was gonna say, we'll have
because it's
to...
a woman. It's a woman that has like facial hair or, you know, or body hair, like an excessive amount of body hair.
I don't like this.
No,
I don't like that sus.
Hair suit.
I'm thinking.
Where do you think you know this from? Are you just making this up? I don't understand.
I feel like I've come across this word before in life. Just like in reading and.
What are you thinking?
I'm thinking like ovulation. Like you're ovulating. Hirsute. Because menstruation, there's so many different like terms for it. Like you have your courses, you have your moon time, like, you know what I mean? There's like a zillion different like creative things. I've never heard hirsute as described as menstruation. However, ovulating, maybe
I know.
And
I've heard
and
the word
he said
before.
it's like gender specific.
I don't know. He said that.
Although
he said women are more likely to know it.
I see. Okay,
but he didn't say gender specific. So I mean, that could be because he thinks that it's something that women stereotypically do more often. It could be that it has something to do with women's bodies.
Maybe it means unshaven.
You with the hair.
He said, what is happening when? Can you repeat that, Seth? Right? You said what is happening.
Oh. He's asked questions in this form, though, where it's kind of
I like questions in these forms. You're
where
right.
It's like it's very open ended.
Yep. What is happening to you if you are hirsute?
Yes. What is happening to you if you are hirsute?
I mean.
Also, I just want to state for the record.
You're growing hair in unexpected places.
Going through puberty.
But why would women know that more than men?
Because there are different body standards for women, you know, and women are expected to remove their body hair. So if you meet a hirsute woman, that's how certain I am of it. Is that I mean, maybe I'm wrong. I could be wrong and just talking out of my ass. But I'm pretty sure if you meet a hirsute woman, it means that they're unshaven in some way, or they have more body hair than typical, or hair in places that you wouldn't typically expect to see on a woman.
Hirsute.
That is correct. The way you're spelling it
with hair.
Also, I just want to.
Why are you touching that thing and in that way?
With hair.
Disclaimer: I do. I'm just for PC's sake. Yes, we know there are men that menstruate too, and like.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. So yeah,
we're talking
whatever.
In a very generic,
yeah.
open-ended way. You just don't have me sold on the hair thing.
I had not sold on the
really
hair thing
I really feel
either.
Like you heard here and you were like, sounds like hair. It's probably a hair thing.
I think I remember thinking that originally and then looking it up and going, oh, okay, it is. But
what do you think, Mark? What are you thinking?
I mean, honestly, anything I guessed would be basically in the same rung of like trying to think of like what women would be like. I just keep thinking of Seth being like, oh, I didn't know you were going to be playing. And knowing that you're here, I think women are more likely to get this. I think like ovulating is definitely like a. Or what are they doing? Was that how you
were?
What is
happening?
What is happening? I think hair's growing. Like it's like a werewolf type thing.
Oh my God.
With his fucking hair. This guy.
Listen to
this
me.
This guy and his hair.
Listen to me.
Should we just. I mean, to be honest with you, I don't have anything better. He's at least saying he's looked up the word. So to be fair.
You no.
What
I
is
can't,
happening?
I'm sorry. I can't. I can't. No. It's too. It feels so wrong.
Wow.
I think it's like, what is happening?
Y'all are married.
I hope this isn't like a Harper Lee type thing.
What is happening when somebody is hirsute? Is that when.
Mm-hmm. What is happening to you if you are hirsute?
If you are hirsute.
Grown a ton of hair.
What is happening if you are here?
What's happening?
You're ovulating. That's what's happening. Like, that just makes sense to me. I don't know. Like, and that's something that, like, you know.
So you're basically saying, like, it's like growing facial hair, but men wouldn't know because men don't really need a name for it.
Exactly.
But women do know because they tend to be more conscious about it.
That's what I'm saying.
I think that's very dumb, but I don't have anything else. I mean.
Hang on. I feel like I'm missing something like big here. Like
hirsute.
What is happening
when you're hirsute? S-U-T-E. Can you think of any other words that have that as a suffix?
S U T-E or S?
S-U-T-E.
S-U-T-E.
H-I-R-S-U-T-E.
Hirsute.
Hirsute.
Thank you, fucking spelling bee.
You are welcome.
Hirsute.
Dark Mavis.
Can you use it in a sentence?
I think that's an extra hint.
Well, basically.
I know, that was the joke, sentence. Seth.
I am a thick, thick man.
I said that. Seth took the brunt of it.
maybe it's gaining weight. I don't know.
Oh, I mean, men.
Women are the ones that are expected to be tiny, not men. So
men are too. Look at the Marvel movies. Look at the superhero movies. I mean, there are body standards for men in pop culture as well. There are.
The Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl every night.
Really? Chiefs, Bucks.
What is happening? Out. What do you think? What do you guys think?
They're distracted.
I mean, to be honest with you,
by football, which won't matter in a year.
It'll always matter. Thank you very much.
Yeah, to me.
This game won't.
Oh, well, we won't get into it because it'll be a long thing, but Tom Brady going back to the Super Bowl means a lot to me.
But that's not the game that's playing right now.
Oh my God.
That game played already. That game played an hour ago.
The Tampa Bay Bucks are going to be the first team to ever play a Super Bowl in the same city that's hosting.
I know. I'm saying the game you're checking right now is not part of that historic event.
Who the Bucks are playing means a lot, does it not?
And to me, it does.
It does.
I'm just saying people are going to remember the Super Bowl. This game.
But I understand how other people don't care about it.
They're going to remember how you don't know what hirsute means is what they're going to remember. I mean, honestly, I am absolutely the only thing I have to go by. I have no ideas based off of the name hirsute. H-I-R as a prefix, S-U-T-E as a suffix. No clue. We got Hairboy over here who just heard here and thinks that. I am going to be absolutely blown away if he's right.
Bless you. Bless you.
So what do you think? Bless should we go with ovulating?
I think we should go with the hair thing. I know that sounds insane.
Oh my God, Mark! Listen,
what do you have to think that it has to do with ovulating? Just because it's a gendered thing?
No, because I just have a gut feeling.
I'm going to go with a gut feeling. I'm going to say ovulating then. I'm going to go with a gut feeling.
All right, I'm outvoted. Ovulation.
We're going to say ovulation.
Lee, you sussed that one right down the fucking middle.
Are you?
Lee was dead on in every word that he said.
Nuh-uh.
In every way.
Nuh-uh.
Kidding me.
In every bit of how
are
he
you
sussed
fucking
it was dead on.
Kidding me?
It is when patches of thick, coarse hair grow in unexpected or unusual or out of places, out of unusual
oh
places.
Oh my
well,
God.
Well, well.
I am appalled.
At yourself?
Wow.
Are you appalled? You better be saying you're appalled at yourself.
Oh my God.
This all came about because a friend of mine had thick, coarse hair growing on the shaft. It was a friend.
Mm-hmm.
I swear. No, I'm just kidding.
I cannot fucking believe that.
I know, Seth. That was me. We're friends.
I know. We could just remember later on.
Wow.
Right.
Yep.
Well,
everything that he said.
That one's gone. We lost that one. It's gone out in the ether. Good
Lee,
question,
Lee,
Seth.
Lee.
Even though it was very open-ended.
Lee,
yeah.
I apologize.
Thank you.
I doubted you, and I apologize.
Thank you.
I do not apologize.
Okay.
You have baby on the brain. I think that's what it is.
She wants to have revenge sex. Because that nut is the nut that turns into a baby.
That's right. That'll be the flower.
Revenge nut.
Revenge nut.
That's our baby's name.
Yeah, revenge nut.
Revenge nut Brett Schneider.
Baby, you were conceived in revenge nut.
Is nut the middle name? Can you make the middle name Mark? Revenge nut Mark?
Well, nut is short for
Mark,
peanut.
Quote,
this could be
unquote,
revenge
nut Brett Schneider.
That's a good nickname.
Single-term U.S. presidents.
Okay.
Which single-term U.S. president is best known for territorial expansion, securing the Oregon Territory from British claim, as well as land ceded by Mexico following the Mexican-American War?
Okay.
I think I might know this.
Yeah. I was just reading about this. Who was it?
Can you read it one more time?
Which single-term U.S. president is best known for territorial expansion, securing the Oregon Territory from British claim, as well as land ceded by Mexico following the Mexican-American War?
I was just reading about this. Like, some guy, like, fucking slayed during the Mexican-American War, and then he was elected president.
Let me mention a president to you.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I know. Thank you. I know that he is a one-term president. His name is James K. Polk.
Yeah.
There is a They Might Be Giants song about him.
Yep.
And if I had a little bit of time, I could think. But I know the last lyric is, having done all this, he sought no second term.
That's...
He was James K. Polk, that is Napoleon correct. Of the Stump. And they do talk about expanding territories, but I'm trying to think of where it was.
Well, I do know that but it
James
was...
James K. Polk is definitely a starting
point. Polk, Pierce, Buchanan. Buchanan was a single term, but the Mexican-American War was back in the 1840s, and he went all the way up to the 1860s. I'm sorry, in the 1850s, and he went up to the 60s. Pierce was president for the Gold Rush in 49. So I'm going to go with Polk. I'm going to go with Polk.
If you guys want, I can probably try and think of like the lyrics and think if it makes sense, but it's going to take me a little bit.
I say it's Polk.
How do you feel about Polk? Your eyes are shifting around a little bit. I mean, he's definitely a one-term president. So that puts him in the running at least.
And that he's in the right that time. Is
for sure he's a one-term president.
Okay.
Pregnant. One-term pregnant.
Now I'm thinking about you guys having babies.
Babies flying
around. Revenge nut.
Now I'm thinking about baby revenge nut.
Revenge nut Brett Schneider.
Don't talk about my son like that. Okay.
Oh, it's going to be a boy.
Yeah, how do you know it's not a girl?
She's doing handstands after this man.
Lee, can you take little revenge nut to gymnastics?
It's like in
if we have twins, we'll have the other one. It'll be named a Vengeance Legume.
I mean... I don't think that's right, but you guys seem confident, so let's go with it.
I think it's Polk.
Are we going Polk?
I say that's what I say. That's the timeline runs. The timeline is correct. Yeah,
he built an independent treasury.
That's in the song. Madison? It doesn't matter. We're looking at Mexican-American War here. We're looking at the time. One
I
term.
Think he says Southwest Territory, which would be. Well, down by Mexico.
After the Mexican-American War, we did take the territory that Arizona. Would be Texas all the way up to almost Oregon, away from Mexico and California.
Kyle, we can has James K. Polk.
Oh my God! Fine, I don't think it's right, but
yay!
Okay, it is right.
Correct.
You're on a bad streak today, young
Listen,
lady.
Yeah, and you so. Need to watch no, no, out. In this case, you picked a winner. Which is me and Mark.
Wow.
Mark said. Yeah,
that one, loser. But you picked the winner. With
God damn it.
No, he was the winner. He's fucking hirsute, this man over here.
Oh, I am hirsute.
Big Patches.
James K. Polk.
Patches Brett Schneider. Yes,
11th president.
His new nickname is Patches.
James K. Polk Patches. Is known for he's known for achieving most of his campaign goals, despite having a single term. That's kind of like... Well, Polk got everything done that he said he would. He also pledged to only serve one term and not run again.
That's right.
The states of California, Utah, Nevada, Arizona, New Mexico, Colorado, Washington, Idaho, Oregon, and Montana were added under his presidency, making a map of the U.S. that resembles today's map more than ever. He also created the Department of the Interior, the first new cabinet position since the formation of the country. Mm. The rapid addition of these states... is believed by historians to have exasperated the divide between the free and slave states preceding the Civil War.
That is correct.
And he was huge into Southern rights, Southern states' rights.
He was a Democrat, I believe. Am I right?
He was a Democrat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He had slaves. But again, the Democrat Party and the Republican Party were different then than they are now.
Oh, yeah.
But yes, he was a Democrat.
The game got switched on some ludicrous shit.
Yep. And many Civil War era military strategists and leaders, this might be what you were alluding to, Kyle Ann, including Robert E. Lee, Ulysses S. Grant, Stonewall Jackson, George Meade, and Jefferson Davis, all first experiencing military combat during the Mexican
Jefferson
War.
I think Jefferson Davis was the guy I was thinking.
He was the president of the Confederacy. The Confederate States.
You're talking my language right now. Jesus.
Seth has got a raging heart on.
I do. I completely do. Okay, the Mexican-American War gave us... are warriors of the Civil War, the people that, you know, went on to do most of the battle in the Civil War. And one of the greatest that missed out on the invasion of Mexico City, of course, led by Robert E. Lee, was a guy named Winfield Scott Hancock. He was named after his namesake was Winfield Scott. Of course, he was the guy that was in charge of the military during the invasion of Mexico. He was born in Pennsylvania. And then he went to, when he became of age, he went to West Point and became rather well-known, you know, personably, but did not he wasn't particularly great at his studies, but he did leave there and leave quite an impression. He participated in the Mexican-American War, but he became sick and was not able to participate in the invasion of Mexico City. So that's something that he carried around with him for the rest of his life. He went on to become quartermaster of Los Angeles after the war. Hmm. Quartermaster is a person that's responsible for supplying troops. Mm-hmm. You know, you look to him for things like shoes and food and stuff like that. Ordnance is stored by the quartermaster. He eventually went back to the Midwest, where he met in Missouri his wife, a woman named Elmira. And then he eventually, after that, was transferred around to a lot of different places, made a lot of friends that were officers. However, in 1855, he was transferred to a little place in the peninsula of Florida in the southwest on the banks of the Caloosahatchee River called Fort Myers. And he was here from 1855 to 1858 as quartermaster. He drew the only known diagram of Fort Myers at the time. Left here. Went back up north, and then, of course, not long after that, the Civil War broke out. Because he was born in Pennsylvania, he took the side of the Union. He was involved in every single major engagement in the northern and in the eastern theater, including things like Fredericksburg.
Bulge?
No, Battle of Bulge, that's World War II. Fredericksburg, oh. Chancellorsville, all the major
Bull Run,
ones.
Maybe is
Bull
what I was
Run.
Saying,
yeah. He was involved in Bull Run.
I knew it was a BUL.
Antietam. He was there. Bull Durham. And then he was also the guy that was in the middle of
Bull
Cemetery
from Night Court.
Richard Mall. Yes. He was the guy that was in the middle of Cemetery Ridge on the third day of Gettysburg when Pickett's charge happened. And a lot of people credit him with repelling Crickett's charge. Lincoln called him Hancock the Superb. And he went on to run against Garfield. He was involved in every major engagement after that. He was seriously wounded at Gettysburg, stayed in the war. He was at Appomattox when the instrument of surrender was signed by Lee. He was standing right behind Ulysses S. Grant. He was such an important, important guy. He was a super important guy. And if you wanted to get a pair of shoes in 1855 in Fort Myers, he was the guy you'd talk to, man.
And his name was William Scott Hancock?
Winfield Scott Hancock. So you're
is that Hancock Boulevard in Cape Coral?
Hancock Creek.
Okay, hey, so that's the namesake. Okay. Wow, look at that. Seth with some extra history there.
I love that stuff. Yeah. And when you bring up Mexican-American War, I just think of all the Civil War officers. You know, I'm not picking sides. I'm not saying who's right and who's wrong. They were all Americans. But, you know, it just produced some impressive human beings, both sides. My favorite happened to be that guy. He happened to be on the Union. He was from Fort Myers. He lived in Fort Myers.
Here's some more history for you.
Go for it.
The Stonewall Riots, the first man on the moon, and Woodstock all famously took place in 1969. In what year did the kidnapping of Patty Hearst, the publishing of Carrie, Stephen King's first novel, and the resignation of Richard Nixon all take place?
What was the novel? Was Carrie?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I know you don't like your questions, but yeah. I figured that you'd like this one. It's multiple.
There's a lot going on.
Big things. Yeah. A lot of big things.
When you ask what year did one thing happen versus multiple things, I think, you know, the more hints that you can give, it makes the question more fair.
Yeah, that's why I thought
you'd
like it. Yeah.
And it's interesting that you gave us the other year, though, with those other dates, like almost as if there's a relationship.
So I won't say if there is or is not, but I was talking to someone about 1969. I was like, God, so many fucking big things happened in 1969. Like, what a huge fucking year.
It was. It really was.
For, like, stuff going on. I mean, like, and even in, like, other subcultures, like in skinhead subculture, the spirit of 69, like, 1969 has a big thing there. In traditional skinhead subculture, not racist skinhead skinhead subculture. But I mean, 1969 was just such a fucking huge turning year for a number of things. And yeah, so it made me prompt looking some other big events up that all happened in 1 year.
The resignation of Nixon. What were the other two?
The kidnapping of Patty Hearst and the publishing of Carrie, Stephen King's first novel.
So was Jimmy Carter president after Nixon? Okay.
Yes, he was.
Okay.
So Reagan was elected after Carter, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
But that's what I was like.
Carter, another one-term president.
Mm-hmm. And that was in
80, right?
80.
And he ran. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, 1980. Mm-hmm. So it's got. So it could be the 70s. It could be the 70s. Or maybe like Patty Hearst. When did that happen? I mean,
the Nixon thing is like the one that seems most like obvious. I don't know. Yeah, the Patty Hearst thing. I don't know what year Carrie came out.
Yeah, yeah. Like the Patty Hearst thing. This was during like
is Seth laying in the cut?
I'm just giving them a chance to work on it, work on their brain.
So you know it already.
I'm 90% sure I know it.
Okay. I was just thinking, because like Patty Hearst was kidnapped by the Black Panthers, right?
No.
No. Who was she kidnapped by?
Symbionese Liberation Army.
Wow, racist.
I grew up a fucking white girl, a rich white girl, okay?
No, he's calling me
racist. I ain't woke.
No, I was calling her racist for saying it was the Black Panther, but I'm just joking.
I mean, no, racist. Like, I literally was grown up, like, you know, I was raised, like, with my mom, like, telling me, my parents telling me, like, oh, yeah, the Black Panthers were, like, terrorists. Because that's, like, what the CIA was like.
I think also, though, Patty Hearst did become sympathetic with her captors and join them.
She did.
You know, and there was a lot of sympathy for the Black Panthers.
That bitch robbed a bank.
So yep. I think, you know, that could be where the wires are crossed. 72? Seth?
You're getting warm.
68 or 72 is my guess.
No, that's not 68. It's after 69.
Okay.
Nice.
He didn't clarify that, but
I had a feeling, but I trust it you. Was probably,
yeah, I think 72.
I was thinking the 70s. Or
a lot of good things happened during 69.
Ooh, maybe it's hold on.
Everybody you felt good.
Me. Nixon maybe was elected in 72.
You're getting
and more. Watergate didn't happen till later. So maybe it's 74, 75. That would be my guess. 74 or 75.
I do have a specific question. Mark, did you say she was captured the year she was captured or the year she robbed the bank?
The year she was kidnapped.
Okay. I'm like 90% sure now, like I said.
Also, just like to state for the record that I think Black Panthers are dope and what they did was awesome for civil rights movement. Just for clarification.
Let that be on the record.
I just did not know that growing up.
Let the audience acknowledge.
I was, you know, not educated. Anyway, yeah, moving on.
Don't let Mark get to you.
I'm not doing anything.
You didn't do anything.
You were like, that's racist.
Questions.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I was just joking.
That's what I'm saying.
I know. I'm just saying. I mean, yeah. I don't know.
It seemed pretty rude in Forrest Gump. JK. 74 is my guess. Seth, let's I mean, come on, okay, all right, on all right, us,
I'm right? letting you guys do it.
Jeez,
all right, here's
I'm
the thing.
To the end.
She robbed the bank in 74. So that's when she robbed the bank.
Okay.
Now that doesn't mean that was when she was kidnapped. Mm-hmm. Carrie came out. I'm almost. What was the other part? Carrie and it was Carrie, Symbionese Liberation, or Patty and Hearst,
Nixon's
and what was the third thing?
Resignation of Richard
Resignation
Nixon.
Of Nixon. All right, so I am. It's right on the cusp of 73 to 74. It's one of the two. I am inclined to believe it's 74. That's when I'm inclined. But I'm not 100%. I'm 90% on 74. It could be 73.
So, but Nixon was elected in 72, right?
Yes.
So he did like a world tour and stuff. He wasn't just like in and out. So
no, he was, I would say, I think that was 68, 67. Yeah, he was his second. That was his second term.
Oh, okay. It was the second term.
Yeah.
All right. So he had plenty. Even if it was. So, all right. Yeah. It could be 73 then.
So it's one of those two. It's one of those two. And I believe.
73 is all right. I'm okay with 73.
You want to go with 73?
I feel like I should have no say here. My track record is garbage.
Come on.
I have no confidence.
Oh. There's going to be questions.
What do you think? 73 or 74?
I mean, I'm thinking 73. I feel like she wouldn't be kidnapped.
Then that's what we're going with. Yep. 73. Mm-hmm. That's what we're going with. Mark, it's 73.
1973.
That's incorrect.
Damn it.
The
I'm
correct answer is 1974. I'm so sorry.
I was hoping that it was going to come through for you, Kylie, and that's why I did that.
No.
1974.
Man, I'm.
Is the year in which.
My game is fucking off.
Richard Nixon. Oh. Richard Nixon.
Richard Nixon. Richard Nixon. Patty Hearst was kidnapped. G. Gordon Liddy.
And Carrie came out.
Oh.
Man.
You are going to get some right tonight. It's going to happen.
Hey, we and still could, love you, Kyle.
Yes, we love you, Kyle.
It doesn't matter if you thought that the Black Panther.
God damn him!
Kyle, you're going to hate this, though.
Our son is going to be Black Panther.
Black Panther.
Quote unquote revenge nut, Brett Schneider. Okay.
I'm sorry.
I'm building up my revenge nut.
Kyle Ann, I really wrote these with guys.
It's fine.
I did. The first one I thought you were going to get. But this one you're not gonna get. This is
it's football.
Okay. Yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's pretty much what
I'm
it
useless.
Is. Guys, here we go.
So it's what, me.
It's you and you. You could get this. I mean, this is possible. This is us.
All right.
Mark.
Yes.
Real quick, what team has the most NFL championships?
Steelers. No.
The
Giants.
No, it's the Steelers or the Patriots. I can't remember.
Steelers.
The Patriots may have eclipsed them.
What team has the most NFL championships?
Oh, not Super Bowl championships. You mean
okay,
like,
I thought that you were going to know this right off the bat.
Including
AFC.
So this
and
is
NFC
your question.
Championships.
This is your question. Yeah. Okay. What team has the most NFL championships?
Oh, so that's become the question.
That's the question.
The most NFL championships.
He did direct it just correct. To you.
Yep. Well, yeah, I thought he was going to get it and then you guys could suss together.
It's the Raiders, guys. I got a good feeling about it.
Are you talking about like divisional championships?
I am talking AFC. What total. Team has the most NFL championships?
I think it includes okay, so
that's
everything.
The, no, that's
Super Bowl championships?
Yeah. Just
divisional
Super Bowl.
Championships?
I think that's no? just divisional or just
oh, okay.
Super Bowl.
NFL championships.
Yeah, that is.
Okay, AFC is not like. Under the divisional. Umbrella, I mean, I guess it is, but that's NFL championships means just overall Super Bowl victories, basically. Right?
Super Bowl victories,
yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. It doesn't mean Super Bowl victories plus AFC championships together. Because
no,
wouldn't those technically be NFL championships?
They would be AFC or NFC championships, I think. I don't think they'd be NFL championships.
Okay, all right.
I might be wrong. But I mean, still, every team that won.
At least it doesn't need a count.
Every team that won the Super Bowl also won their divisional championship, technically.
Oh, that's
speaking.
A good point. Yeah.
So unless like a team. Yeah. Like, I mean. Well, I think.
You think the Patriots did it?
It's.
Wouldn't you know?
Wouldn't you know?
Wouldn't you know for sure? If they did,
I feel like the
since
Steelers,
you're a fan.
I feel like the Steelers have seven, though, maybe.
I just know that the Steelers were hot shit 50 years ago for a long time.
They were.
They had a big run.
Terry Bradshaw won a bunch.
And then when the Patriots started having their run more recently, people were like, oh, it's like the Steelers.
Well, they won
Kyle
six.
Ann, I'm sorry.
But the whole, okay. But all the six they won were all.
I
on,
didn't
like, the
know
same
you
little...
were messing with.
It's fine.
So it's like they won six all close together.
Mm-hmm. Steelers.
Yeah, we're going to go with Steelers.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
Okay, that is incorrect. As far as Super Bowls go, the Steelers have six.
And the Patriots are tied.
And the Patriots
okay.
are tied with
I thought
with
the Patriots
them.
Were tied with them. That's now, why I thought the question was kind of...
The NFL merged with the AFL in 1964. And that's when you had 1964-65. You had
so it's the
Super
Bears?
Bowl one. No. The Bears, number two. Number one, the team with the most NFL championships, which is Super Bowl championships and pre-merger championships combined, is the Green Bay Packers.
The Packers were a consideration. I knew they won the first ever Super Bowl.
That is correct. I thought that you'd know that just from, you know, recent, everybody talks about most world championships is the Packers. You know, everybody always says, oh, the Packers won, the Packers won, the Packers won. You know, especially going back to antiquity before the merger, you know, when people get into that, they're like, oh, Packers still have it by a mile. They do. They have 13. Number two is the Bears with 9. And then number three is the Giants with 8. However, the Giants have had far and away more championship appearances than anyone else, meaning Super Bowl appearances and NFL championship game appearances with 22. So, yeah.
Bow, bow.
There you go.
All right. Well, that's our first round. How about we take a quick little break, and then we'll come back, knock out some miscorrections, and then we'll get on with round two.
Yeah.
Our quiz. All right, we're back, and we have a few missed corrections here. Well, we gave it all to the instrument there. I thought that was supposed to be David Holbrook's theme.
Who do we blame on? I mean, who did that?
Oh, that was me.
That was you.
That was me, yeah.
That was good. That was nice. No, that was good. That was really good. I liked it.
Thanks.
You gave a sour look.
Well, I was expecting David Holbrook's nice jazzy dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, you know? So that was just a bit coarse for my ears there.
All right.
First up, Kevin Hunt pointed out on our Discord server, John Woo directed Mission Impossible 2, not Ang Lee, like I said.
Ah, yes. Racist.
And he said...
you're off the hook.
He said that it was actually the Doves that pointed that out. And I remember now that the Doves was a John Woo thing, not an Ang Lee thing. Ang Lee directed The Incredible Hulk and The Cider House Rules.
I know the
Cider House. It most certainly does. If you're a fan of the Cider House Rules and you say the Cider House Rules, it's a very confusing...
Yes.
Sentence.
But it's correct.
It is.
The Cider House does, in fact, rule.
And there was a moment where John Lewis, his name's John Lewis.
It is.
And I were trying to figure out what an isosceles triangle was.
It's two as a triangle with two equal sides.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And we could not figure out what that was.
I got a question for you guys real quick. Mm-hmm. Do at times, do John Lewis and Eric sound alike?
At times.
At times. There was times I thought
energy to their voices.
I was listening to Eric for a second. I was like, that's Eric.
Yeah.
Really grown to like John Lewis on this show.
Oh, he's great.
Oh, he's funny.
Yeah, used to hate him.
Yeah, there was a time when I was like, kill that fucker.
That's normal.
Damn these hoes.
And then we have to send apologies to Stuart Schrieffer. I have to send apologies because I called him Steve a couple times.
I like you, Stuart.
Yeah, but his name is Stuart. Stuart, not Steve. So
you're not
sorry,
like all
Stuart.
The other people here in the trailer.
I introduced him as Stuart, and then I called him Steve twice, and then I called him Stuart at the end again.
Oh Jesus!
So yeah. His name is Stuart, not Steve.
Stuart at the end.
And Joey wrote in to clear up some misconceptions about saturation diving.
Yeah, are you gonna read that whole thing?
No, I edited it down, but it's still quite a bit here.
You tighten that up for us, Lee.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. It looks like I didn't tighten it up at all. But Jerry wrote in, she writes, saturation diving and deep sea diving are not intrinsically linked. We tend to associate the two types of diving because our knowledge of saturation diving allows deep sea diving to be conducted more efficiently. However, one could be a saturation diver at any depth over a few feet. Essentially, when you are diving in any depth of water, the atmospheric pressure is greater than it is at the surface. Mm-hmm. And very simply put, because of the laws of physics, it takes more molecules of air to fill your lungs with each breath. Mm-hmm. In other words, the air you're breathing at depth is denser than the air that you breathe at the surface. When you breathe air at depth, your body metabolizes the oxygen and you exhale carbon dioxide. However, because you're breathing denser air than at the surface, you're inhaling more nitrogen molecules than you normally would. And your body is not able to expel them at all in a normal breathing cycle. As a result, the nitrogen simply builds up in your body. Since it is an inert molecule, it doesn't really do anything. It just hangs out in your bloodstream and other tissues. unless you're diving below 100 feet, in which case nitrogen makes you feel drunk, but we can discuss nitrogen narcosis on another episode.
Causing an effect known as the bends.
Mm-hmm. The deeper you go, the faster you absorb nitrogen and the more time you need to wait before surfacing and the longer you need to wait to dive again. So in order to fix this, you know, because it takes a long time, even if you're down for an hour, you know, mm-hmm. it takes you a long time to decompress.
Surface, yeah.
They just send these divers down for long periods of time.
Diver down.
Sometimes as long as 4 weeks. When it's time to return to the surface, the divers ascend in the pressurized habitat, which will maintain the elevated atmospheric pressure during the ascent. Thanks for making the show happen. Always a highlight of my week. Best, Joey.
Now, Lee, mm-hmm. we do know that saturation diving and deep sea diving are not intrinsically linked.
Well, I know that now.
I mean, we know that now, yeah. Yes. But are either one of them intrinsically linked to muff diving?
Probably both. Heyo.
I need to know.
Well, yeah.
Where you want to be fully saturated, I would say.
Absolutely.
You don't want dryness going on there.
I hope not.
No.
Yeah. I mean...
Absolutely not. You said that was the bends. Isn't the bends when you come up too fast?
It's when you come up too fast and those nitrogen molecules are released into your bloodstream, causing, you know, it's a very, very painful thing. There you go.
Yeah. I guess when you do that and it leaves you high and dry.
Hello. Oh,
lots
you're
of
good.
Radiohead references here.
You're really good. You really you. Got that. You dove deep on that one.
Fantastic.
It's a deep
you.
Cut. Deep dive.
Deep dive.
Deep diver. Deep diving. Oh. Saturation.
Thank Van you, Halen. Joey. Thank you, Kevin. And thanks again, Stuart, for your miscorrections. If you'd like to write us with one, a rate my question, or even just a little no note, you can write to us at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com or call us at 1-929-356-6966.
Diver Down. Diver Down is the name of the Van Halen album.
No, that's right. Yeah. Isn't that one of the Running with the Devil on it?
Maybe.
Running with the Devil.
Mark, why don't you kick off our second round?
Would you like that?
Yes.
Would you like it if I
yes.
kicked off the second round?
Oh, sorry.
Oh, no, it's okay. Don't you worry. Let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
What satirical novel was published in 1987 and became a film 3 years later, starring Melanie Griffith, among others?
Only Griffith.
Yeah. Seth is looking at the heavens.
So I think Crazy in Alabama was late 90s.
Yeah, that was late 90s.
I don't Isn't know if it? I could name that's one Melanie later. Griffith movie.
What about Crazy for Swayze? When did that come
What
out?
About Working Girl?
That was early 90s. I think. That was the one.
Was that with Sigourney Weaver?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Harrison Ford.
Is that a satire?
I don't.
That's not a satire.
Think so. I don't, it's been a long time since. I mean, that's a long time.
She was also in that fucking tiger movie, but that wasn't like
Roar.
Roar.
Yeah, Roar.
But that was like that was way earlier though.
And that was
not a novel.
No, that wasn't. That was before 1987. That's for sure.
1987 satirical novel.
Man. What?
Confederacy of Dunces?
No,
that was came earlier, out in the right?
60s mm. or 70s. Yeah. That's Vonnegut, right? Yeah. No, not Vonnegut. That's
Tom.
What's his name?
Tom Collins, Tom you son of a bitch.
Tom Collins. No, it's not Tom. I can't remember.
Tim Robbins, right? Or
no,
Tom Robbins.
Oh. Tom Robbins.
Tom Robbins.
Tim Robbins
is an actor.
No, there's another Robbins.
Tom.
That wrote a book in the 80s. Hold on. You
Even
just...
Even Cowgirls Get the Blues.
That's it.
It's Uma Thurman, though, was in that. Not Melanie Griffith.
Melanie Griffith. But it was around then.
Yeah.
Okay. You had
Is that satire?
You...
Yeah, it's satire.
That is satire.
Mm.
Maybe it's... Maybe it
maybe
was...
She maybe was in that?
Maybe Melanie Griffith was in it and we don't remember it. I definitely remember
did say
Uma Thurman
others.
And her huge thumbs in that. That yes. was awesome.
She was good at hitchhiking.
Yep.
Yeah, even Cowgirls Get the Blues starring him.
That's the only thing I can think of.
That's
90 is around that time.
You said 90 or 91?
90 or 91.
90.
I said the novel was written in 1987.
Came out
the movie came out 3 years later.
Oh, 90. Okay.
So 90 would be, wouldn't it? That's my best guess. I can't think of anything else. I'm glad you said Robbins. No, yeah. Brazil came out in 86. Mm. And goddamn, that was a good movie. That's such
a good
movie.
We need to watch that.
Joe versus a Volcano.
That's not Melanie Griffith. No? That's Meg Ryan.
That's Meg Ryan. That's correct. And another fan. Man, you guys are bringing up really good movies that I loved.
That was a good movie.
He floated away on his luggage.
That he spent a fortune on.
Yeah. John Candy was in that. I can. The only one I can think of is even Cowgirls Get the Blues. That's.
You know, she might have been in it. I feel like there was a lot of people in
there
that
movie.
There
were a lot of other people yeah. than her. And it's been. That's 90. I think it was like 92 when I saw it. You're going on almost 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my best guess.
And he was writing in the 80s.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I think
guess that's probably a good guess.
Are we going to go with that?
I can't think of anything different. I mean, even the Vonnegut, like when they started making movies out of the Vonnegut novels, he wrote those way earlier.
Oh, yeah.
And then the movies came out way later in the 90s.
Slaughterhouse-Five. Well, Slaughterhouse-Five came out in the 80s. The movie. Not the book. Yeah. The movie. Yeah. I can't think of anything. Go ahead.
Naked Lunch?
No.
Is that 60s? No, that's Burroughs, and he wrote that a long time ago. I think it's Cowgirls Get the Blues.
Yeah, even Cowgirls. Okay, let's do that.
That's what we're saying.
You're incorrect. I'm going to tell you the other two main actors that were in the movie. I'm going to give you 1 minute to suss. I decided. Do you like this?
Yeah.
Do you like this? Do you think
Bless
this
you.
Is fair?
Yeah.
Bless you.
Yes. No, I want to hear it.
The other actors, along with Melanie Griffith, were Bruce Willis and Tom Hanks. And I am starting. Melanie Griffith, Tom Hanks. Bless you.
Bless you.
Well, Bruce Willis was in Breakfast of Champions.
That wasn't written in
45 seconds.
No, it wasn't in 87.
This is going to kill me.
Turner and Hooch. Melanie Griffith wasn't in Turner and Hooch. It was Bruce Willis.
Splash.
No, Splash came out in 83.
It wasn't A Fish Called Wanda.
Fish Called Wanda came out in 86.
Oh, what about, what is that? 30 seconds. What is that other movie he was in?
The Money Pit.
The Dirty Things.
Dirty Rotten Scoundrels?
No. It's like, it's the movie where he, like, accidentally kill a hooker.
Oh, I don't know that one.
Eight Heads in the Duffel Bag?
It's like.
Bonfire of the Vanities? No.
No. It's called, like, Dirty Pretty Things or something.
I don't know.
10 seconds.
I don't remember the name
of
it,
but
that's
the
movie.
Yep.
You guys said the title. You got 5 seconds. Someone said it.
Bonfire of the Vanities.
No.
That's correct. Bonfire of the Vanities is correct. Right at the last second.
Bonfire of the Vanities was not written in 87.
Yeah, it was.
And it was not satirical.
It is.
Hmm.
Oh, I'm getting that confused with Valley of the Dolls. You're right. Yeah.
Well, do you want to read the next question, Seth?
Yeah, just give me 1 second because my phone flew out of my hand with the... Hey, we came goddamn close, though. I mean,
active sussing going on over here.
All right.
As soon as you said it, I was like, holy shit. That's why I pushed you. I was like, I think if I push, he'll just go out with it. And you did.
Funky Drummer is a single released by James Brown in 1970. Its drum break that was improvised by his drummer, a famous guy, is one of the most frequently sampled music recordings. Who is that drummer?
I know it.
Wow.
Well, I mean, I'm a drummer. Mm-hmm. And you said his name earlier.
That's
but funny. I mean, I knew anyway.
Yeah, okay. Mm. All right. I'm sorry.
If you don't know it, you probably don't know it. He did say the name earlier.
And during this episode or during Lyrics to Go?
Lyrics to Go, I think.
Oh, okay.
I just wanted to see
when you were talking about drummers.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I wrote this question.
Absolutely.
I wanted to see if you'd remember.
Oh, I know this name. I know this man. James Brown's drummer.
Do you know it, either one of you guys?
I don't.
It's a very well-known drummer. I guarantee you this. I guarantee both of you this. You have heard this drum sample more than 100 times in your life.
It's, very, very popular. Mm. Do you know it, Kyle? Music school at all?
I can't think of his name.
Should I just out with it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
His name is Clyde Stubblefield.
Oh. That is correct.
Clyde Stubblefield.
Okay.
Cool name.
Very, very,
almost
very
as good as drummer. Revenge
cool
Nut.
Drummer.
Oh, yeah.
Clyde Stubblefield.
Clyde Stubblefield, quote unquote, Revenge Nut Brett Schneider. I like it. This is great.
Mark.
Call him Stubbs for short. Good job, Mark.
Thanks.
Stubby okay. Revenge Nut.
I have a Middle East geography question for you guys. What city straddles the Bosphorus, a strait that forms the continental divide between Europe and Asia, and is the only passage from the Black Sea to the Mediterranean via the Sea of Marmara? What city straddles the Bosphorus, a strait that forms the continental divide between Europe and Asia?
Isn't it Constantinople? Haven't we had this question a whole bunch of times?
Well, so we haven't had that question, but it's the only city that straddles... I guess maybe we have sort of had the question. I know there's a question that's like, what's the only... Everybody's stepping on everybody's shit. There is a question that's like, what's the only city that... straddles continents or something like that.
Yeah, and Europe and Asia.
Istanbul.
Not Constantinople.
Not Constantinople. Oh, duh. It's Istanbul, not Constantinople.
Istanbul.
Been a long time gone, Constantinople. Why did Constantinople get the works?
That's nobody's business but the Turks.
Istanbul. Yeah.
God damn it.
Okay.
That is correct.
Istanbul.
Yes, it is a city that is on the continental divide. It's located on the Bosphorus Strait, and that's why it's such a big city, basically, because it's on a major waterway.
On the banks of the mighty Bosphorus is a Japanese man in a business suit. Singing smoke gets in your eyes.
Wow. Yeah. There you go.
Little cake for you.
Yep.
That's what the word Bosphorus, that's what the mention of Bosphorus does to me. Here is my last question of the second round. A number that is greater.
Excuse you. I mean,
bless you.
Are you fucking done?
No, I'm not.
You know what? Now I'm going to ask a different question. The Martyr's Mirror is an important book in what religious group?
Well,
I want the last question.
Well, you shouldn't have fucking sneezed.
Wow. It's like that scene from Dogma.
The Martyr's Mirror.
The Martyr's Mirror.
I'm a martyr, and this is my mirror.
It's also known as
Jackass.
It's also called The Bloody Theater. And it has an even longer name that I'll tell you after you have sussed.
Are you wanting one of the four major religions?
It's a group within a group.
So it's a sect, a religious sect.
That's probably fair.
Yeah.
It is a religious group that...
Right, so it could be Shiite, it could be Catholic, it could be... Yeah.
You just said it. I have a pretty good idea. There is a big thing that... There's a big religious holiday that takes place every year in Iran, which is, of course, vast majority Shia Muslim, and it involves theater. A big part of that holiday involves a lot of theater. And, of course, I don't know if you've spent any time paying attention to martyrdom in Islam. It's kind of a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of a big deal. That, you know, in regarding things that happen to you in the afterlife and things that are available to you. And I do know that there's a lot of theater involved in one aspect of the most important holiday in Shia Islam. I'm going to guess that it's Shia Islam.
You cool with that?
Yeah.
Shiite.
That's in charisma.
Damn it.
Snoop that one.
Like that because he said Shiite. It sounds like the rap thing.
I didn't get that.
The full name is The Bloody Theater or Martyr's Mirror of the Defenseless Christians who baptized only upon confession of faith and who suffered and died for the testimony of Jesus, their Savior, from the time of Christ to the year AD 1660.
Wow.
So Mormons?
No.
1660. Yeah, that's way too
early. The correct answer is Amish or Mennonite.
I was just going to say that. Yes.
Amish or Mennonite.
That is correct. Yeah, I've heard that before. That's weird.
I just saw an obituary that had, it was like an 87-year-old Amish guy died, and he had 628 grandchildren.
That sounds about right. Yeah, that's right.
He had like 60-something, I'm sorry, great-grandchildren. He had like 60-something grandchildren.
Yeah.
And then hundreds and hundreds of great-grandchildren.
I mean, if you don't have electricity or shit, what else are you going to do but fuck and procreate?
Hell yeah.
They live every day like they're come getting to think over of it, Hurricane
I'm
Irma.
A Mennonite now.
I'm a Mennonite now, motherfucker.
All right, Seth.
Okay. I'm sitting here thinking about, you know,
becoming a Mennonite.
Shiite Mennonism. And
Shiite Mennonism.
And you know, how
by
much
Mennonites.
That's an untapped romance novel market. You can get those in Pennsylvania, exactly. The Shiite Mennonism.
And Abraham burst into the room, lightless, holding only a candle and some corn oil.
Churn right. This, bitch.
Shall I layeth with you? Oh, you layeth, you shall. Poverty Point. It's a site that contains earthen ridges and mounds, and it was built by indigenous Americans sometime between 1700 and 1100 BC in late archaic North America. Archaeologists have proposed that a variety of possible functions for the site, including as a settlement, a trading center, and a ceremonial religious complex. That's what they thought it was, but there is one thing for sure. It's practically a city in archaic North America. Something that I think that is very, very ironic about North America before Christopher Columbus got here. There were 20 million people in North America. That's more than Europe. Mm-hmm. They all died within 80% of them died within 100 years of him getting here.
Yeah.
There were cities here before he got here. In what southern state was Poverty Point located?
What southern state?
That is correct.
Well,
so it's guessable at the least.
The three that come to mind for some reason are
Arizona, New Mexico, and Arizona.
No.
I did say Arizona twice.
Yes, you did.
I mean, my cool. initial.
And I wasn't thinking southwest at all. I was thinking southeast.
Really?
I was thinking New Mexico.
What southern state?
But he said southern state.
Yeah. Well, yeah, southern just means the south. It doesn't necessarily mean southeast or southwest. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, southeastern state.
Oh, it's a southeastern. Okay. Thank you.
There you go.
So I was thinking southeast.
I'm sorry, like whenever I say
well, southern. Don't listen to Hirsute Guy. Okay? Don't listen to Hirsute Guy.
Hey, I'm already not. you don't have to tell me again. Well, so, I mean, the thing I was thinking, of course, was like the Incan, you know, like a lot of that reminded me a lot of that. I'll say right off, knowing Seth's love of Florida, how can you not put Florida somewhere
Is Florida a southern state?
Yeah. We're in the south.
Yes, Florida is a southern state.
We are not the south. We are southern.
This is
Kyle
Ann.
We're not talking about mannerisms. We're talking about direction.
Like okay.
South and east.
Okay.
There's no southeastern more state than Florida.
He's pointing to the ground.
Yeah, I'm pointing sideways to the ground.
Down there. Up there is Michigan.
I'm pointing at my balls.
I was thinking Alabama, Mississippi, or Louisiana. Louisiana, I just feel like
Louisiana has got some bayous and some bogs and shit. I could see it being Louisiana.
Mm-hmm. Poverty Point. That's an interesting name too.
There's so much poverty here. Yeah, Poverty Point.
There's so much poverty in the South, man.
Well, I was gonna say. I mean, it's called Poverty Point now.
Yep.
Dude, I'll tell you right off. The first state I think of is Mississippi. There's so much poverty there. I think it is the most poverty-stricken state in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, Jesus Christ, if there's a place that you're going to call Poverty Point, and I mean, plus there's loads of dirt.
River, the Mississippi nothing. River,
right.
You know, so cities are going to, trading posts are going to come around, you know, the waterways. I'm okay. I don't know why I was thinking Louisiana first, but Mississippi is not a bad guess. What do you think, Kyle?
Yeah, I mean, but this is a city that was established in what BC, whatever?
1700.
So this is
and 1100 BC.
Okay.
Sometime between them.
So it's a city. So, and it's called Poverty Point. And so it's before, you know, we have this establishment of like Mississippi being like a poor state.
Right. But it's on the river. Like, that's what I'm saying. It's on the. Could be Missouri too. Missouri River, maybe. I don't know. I mean, I guess there's.
I was initially thinking like Kentucky. Don't they have the most caves in the U.S.
Mm-hmm. or the biggest caves? Or
but
both?
I guess that's not. Why am I thinking caves? My brain isn't working.
Yeah, those are undergrad. That's the wrong South.
Yeah, okay. I mean, yeah, if you guys think Mississippi.
I mean, you know, just going off of the poverty thing in southeastern state, it's, I mean, all those places are poor, but I mean, I really don't know if there's any more poor than Mississippi.
Maybe if the connection is based on that, it could be a coincidence. It could be like, you know, oh, the soil here is not rich, so it's poverty point. You know, I don't know.
Which, if we're talking about crap soil, I mean, doesn't Florida have like crap soil for growing because it's like mostly the sandy, like, you know, whatever.
What do you think?
You can go with Mississippi.
I don't want to meta too much. It would, Florida would make sense for Seth. You know, but that's not where my mind went first.
Well, I will say this. He also said earlier, I'm not very happy with my questions, man. I wouldn't look too deep in any of my into any of my stuff, which maybe he's like meta-meddying me.
Oh, my gosh.
I know that you know that I know that you know that I know.
Well, I mean, look, I obviously a lot of places in Florida are poor, but I mean, like, not like Mississippi. I mean, the poverty point just keeps fucking harping it.
What if the point is like a peninsula thing? What if it's South Florida? And it's like the point.
Like Key West?
Like a Key West thing, yeah.
Could be.
I mean, well, you got all those islands down there. You're going to want a trading post in the Keys.
I don't know much about Florida. And, well, I guess Southwest Florida is mostly like built up.
Oh, it can't be Florida, because if it was established in whatever BC, wasn't Florida like underwater back then?
Well, that's what I was saying. Like, I know a lot of Florida was like filled in or whatever. Yeah. I don't know how much of it. I'm sure Seth will give us a.
This sounds like a pretty simple
I'm sorry,
area.
No, one earlier, man.
I mean,
you got me on one that I loved. So. Hmm.
I say Mississippi. I say we just go with Mississippi.
Is that your answer?
Yep. Yes.
Poverty Point is on the border of Mississippi, but it's in Louisiana.
Oh, fuck!
Dang.
Those up are the north two up this near up near Tennessee. Said, man. It's right off the Mississippi River. You were okay, headed Kyle, in the right direction. Right,
we get it. You're
you were totally sneeze. Headed in the right direction there, Lee.
You are a sneeze. I like how you daintily like.
It was a city. It was an early American city that was densely populated. If you looked at it from space,
so why didn't you push it?
I did. I said that my gut is saying Louisiana, but then you start talking about Mississippi.
Mississippi's all poor. Shit.
What I said.
It is. I said Louisiana is also very poor.
Mm-hmm.
It's poor. We're poor everywhere down here. Poor us.
All right. Pop rock.
Whoa. Wait.
Cop rock?
Pop.
Hold on. Have we all done two? No, you have to go. That's right. I'm sorry.
This is the last one.
And that's what he's doing, Seth. He's trying.
And then we're going to take a little breather.
Emotions are running high. Two podcasts in a day. We're just going insane. Lee wants to talk so bad. But if I keep talking, he can't. All right.
What pop rock band earned a record deal based on a People magazine review of their 1985 self-produced demo tape?
What was that?
Why am I thinking Green Day?
85?
No, Green Day wasn't until
I know they were offered record deals for like years that they kept turning down because they like didn't want to solo.
Well, okay, Dookie was 94, right?
Yep. Yeah.
So, I mean, they had two albums before that, Kerplunk and 3000 whatever Slappy Hours. So if you go 94, we'll just say one of them came out in 91 or 92.
Let's just do this right here.
Okay, time out.
I'm sorry. Green Day in 1985 would not have popped up in People magazine. That's just a fact.
Yeah, that's
okay,
true.
Good point.
That's
yeah.
Can we hear the question again after you get done
1985, People magazine, after a demo tape that they produced, People magazine got them. Now, say it again.
That's what I just asked him.
I'm trying to make the wheels turn, Mark.
What band earned a record deal based on a People magazine review of their 1985 self-produced demo tape?
This is not a lot of information.
It's not.
Pop rock.
But I mean, a record deal from a 1985 thing means they probably put out their album 1986
or 87. You're exactly right.
Is it They Might Be Giants?
No. Because
are they pop rock?
Well, Lincoln,
they were
Lincoln came out in like 84, didn't it? 83?
Well, I'm trying to think. Flood came out in 90.
Yes.
Why is the world in love again? Why are we marching hand in hand? Why are the ocean levels rising up? It's a brand new record for 1990. They Might Be Giants' brand new album, Flood.
And then wasn't I Don't Want the World, I just want your half.
Anna Eng. Think
that was 84, 85.
Yeah, they had their self-titled Lincoln and
that had already,
yeah. another album out, I think, by the time Flood came out. So I don't think it's them.
87. Pop rock band.
Pop
so rock. So you're thinking band. Like...
85.
Yeah, 85. But you're thinking, if pop rock band, you're thinking like Duran Duran, that era. You know,
Duran Duran. I would call Duran Duran pop rock.
Really?
What about U2? No, they were.
No, U2 came out. Boy came out in like 81, 82. War. I'm sorry. Shit. 80. So we got to think of something. Who came out with a hit in 86, 87?
Oh, lots of people.
Of course. Who came out with a record?
There is not much information on here.
No.
Do you want to hear the review? A little snippet from the review?
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I
love that.
Yeah.
This is a New York City band so unknown that it doesn't yet have a record label. Its music is only available on mail order, cheap quality cassette. But this pop rock duo is bound
they for might be giants.
Greater glory.
I mean, New York City and
duo
is...
Yeah, and on cassette.
So it's 85. They put out their self-titled in like 86. They put out music fast too.
I remember seeing them on Dr. Demento, the Don't Let Start video in 1987. So it's them. Did you say they might be giants? Yes, she did. You know what? We're going with they might be giants. We're going with Kyle's answer.
There yes, we go. Kyle.
I got one.
God bless you. Very good.
Bezos. You got it. And one of my favorite bands.
Yes.
I did it.
Yep. Michael Small. He was a regular attendee to their shows, and he happened to be a writer for People Magazine and was like, you ain't going to slip that review in there and launch them to stardom.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Very nice, Kyle. Very good.
Thank you to Brendan Small. That's the guy.
Michael Small.
I was going to say, yeah. Brendan Small's from Home Movies.
No, it's not Brendan.
You and Lee and Brendan. Little Revenge Nut can look back one day and say,
we did it.
You remember when?
We did it.
Remember when Kyle called it?
Are we going to take a break?
Yeah.
Let's do that, please.
Let's take a break.
This is a marathon.
Yeah. And then we'll be back in round three with some Rate My Questions and our final question.
Very good.
All right. We're back, and it's time for a Rate My Question.
Rate My Question.
Thank you, Seth.
All right.
Thank you, Seth.
Thank you.
Thank you so much,
Seth. It was so great that he showed up.
We have a Rate My Question here from Leah. Leah writes, hey, Mark and Lee. It's Leah from when we met way back in December 2019. Hi, Leah. So much has happened in the last year.
Hi, Leah?
No, I was saying hello.
I'm just joking.
So much has happened in the last year. We had a baby, jobs were changed, and who can forget a certain global pandemic? I don't know what you're talking about there. Congratulations, Leah, on the child.
Popped up.
Thank you for the baby.
Mm-hmm. And more importantly, I finally came up with a question for you guys.
We do have an idea for a name if you haven't named your baby yet. And that name is Revenge Nut.
No, that is our name.
Well, you better pop this baby out soon, because if I have a baby first... I'm just going to try and impregnate somebody and be like, you got to have it's called Revenge Nut Dibs. Yeah, baby Dibs.
We've got Vengeance Legume on hold just in case. So.
It's not as good as Revenge
Nut. It's a bit of a mouthful. Yeah. No pun intended. Here is Leah's question.
If you're doing it right, the mouth won't be full.
If you're doing it right.
But the cream pie surprise and you've got no
I'm talking about legumes and nuts.
Okay.
All right. Here's Leah's question. Produced from 1952 to 1956, Kent Micronite cigarettes contained what material that filtered out, quote, tar too effectively.
I know this.
And resulted in discontinuation. However, it caused a string of lawsuits over 20 years later, starting in the 1980s.
I know it.
Okay, that's good.
Yes. Do you know why? My grandparents used to have magazines from the 1950s and 60s sitting around the house when I was a little kid. I'd read them. And it was it was in their ads. Didn't she say that in there?
No.
No, but it was in their ads. It was in their ads what this material was.
My thought was asbestos.
No.
No? No. Because there was a, I'm sure, a string of lawsuits. I don't know if it was in the 80s or 90s, but, you know, that would be a material that they would probably be like, yeah, let's take this out.
My idea, I had always heard it about some brands of cigarettes, is fiberglass.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it. I had always heard that was the rumor was when I was a kid, and you probably heard the same thing, Seth, since we lived
not far
in
off.
Some way, some very similar lives.
Yeah.
Was that I think it was Newports. Everybody always said Newports.
Still alive with pleasure.
Have fiberglass in them.
Wow.
That was a rumor.
Okay. Yeah. That's why I figured.
But I think it was advertised on Kent cigarettes.
Yeah.
Kyle,
ideas? I thought that menthol cigarettes already have fiberglass in them.
See, I think that's one of those like urban myths. I think this thing spurred that into that, and it's not true. It's like, well, these brands of cigarettes did it, and they were probably one of them, or menthol cigarettes probably were the last to stop doing or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so people kept on with the blah, blah, blah. Because obviously you don't need fiberglass for something to smell like mint or taste like mint. You can do it.
Just had some fiberglass.
just got done sucking a long fiberglass cigarette.
Yes. All right. So we're going to go with fiberglass then. Let's take a look at the answer here.
Oh!
This is just Seth, my episode. Why? Asbestos cigarette filters
were produced
by Hollandsworth and Vose Company, also called H&V Specialties for Lorillard Tobacco Company's Kent Micronite brand cigarette. The Crocodilite used in the filters is one of the most toxic types of asbestos.
This is what you'd call a Slumdog Mill Lee Anair.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yes, years
we
produced
have to
1952
look it up though before we leave that they did advertise that fiberglass were in a filter at some point. I remember seeing that.
Mm. We'll look it up. But
we'll look it up later.
Well, what do we think about this question?
Oh, it's good.
I think it's an A plus.
That's good.
Yeah, absolute A plus.
I like it.
Yeah, I mean, there's not too much information. I would guess that you'd give it a.
I'm going to give it PIBS, but with a lowercase s. I think it could just be slightly reworded, maybe just be one sentence.
I thought you were going to say no hint.
Oh, well, no, it does piss. Say it caused a string of lawsuits over 20 years later, which is what made me think of asbestos in the first place. Yeah. So just adding that as part of the main sentence, I just like one sentence questions. I don't like, you know, paragraphs and setups and stuff like that. I think this is a great question. I give it PIBS, lowercase s, and I, you know.
Seth, when he asks a question, you guys can't hear it or see it. He edits the sound out, but he has a giant tome that he opens up, and you just hear this creak of a book, and just, and then you just hear it just pounds on the, and he goes, the year was 1523.
From the Book of Ford.
Well, each quizmaster has their own preference. Yes, and that's why we individually rate it here, because you can get a different sense of what each quizmaster, how they're responding to your. There's nothing wrong with, you know, if I say it's not short and sweet, doesn't mean your question's not good. It's just if I was going to ask this, I would probably tweak it. You know, if I was going to ask this in a live environment, I'd probably just condense it a little bit. But I think it's a great question.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Kyle's over there making
that's
coffee.
Kyle's thoughts.
How do you feel about it?
If you'd like to write us with a Rate My Question or a missed correction or even just a little no note, you can do so at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com or call us at 1-929-356-6966.
Nice.
Seth, why don't you give us our first question?
Daddy.
Yeah.
It's going to be a pretty easy one for you guys, I think. You got a chance of getting it right.
Here we go.
Yep. It's not a World War II question.
It's a World War I.
What?
Question. But it's a war question.
Oh, okay.
In what battle
Sorry, go ahead.
Was the largest in what battle? You don't have to give me the battle. You just have to give me what war was the largest single day loss of American lives?
Of American lives?
In what war?
In what war? If you know the battle, hey, it's extra points if I was quiz mastering somewhere. If I was at Pointy Bell, I would give a couple of extra if they wrote down. I'm giving you guys like what I consider to be like a 3-point question. At
the Battle of 9/11.
I think that was outside of war.
Of American lives?
Civil War?
Okay. I would say it has to be the Civil War.
Because it's Americans and Americans.
Yeah, double compounding negatives.
Battle of Gettysburg?
Well, you just asked for the war, right?
Yeah, but he said extra points if you get the battle.
Yeah.
Battle of the Bulge? Someone mentioned the Battle of the Bulge earlier.
Yeah, that was that was World War II.
Oh.
Bull Run.
Battle of Bull Run was what I was looking for, but I said Bulge.
And then it said Battle of Bull Shannon from Night Court. Right. Yes.
Richard Mall.
Yes, Richard Mall. And they're doing another Night Court. They are rebooting Night Court.
You can't do it. Harry Anderson's dead.
It's his daughter. It's I don't know.
It might work.
Dan Fielding. John Larroquette is coming back.
Oh, cool.
I went to school with his son.
But no Marky Post.
Did you really?
No Richard Mall.
I went to school Berkeley with him.
Yeah. Come on.
Brent Spiner? He got his breakout role on that.
And who was
Marshall Warfield?
Marshall Warfield. Who was the guy that played? Oh, Charlie Robinson.
Charlie Robinson.
That's the guy who played. What's his name? Mac. I think that's his name.
I think he
How
died
the
too.
Fuck do I know that?
I don't know. I'm
not sure if that's the right name. I'm going to look it up.
I was in love with Marky Post when I was a kid.
I don't know, man. I would say, there's a pretty good fucking chance that it's the Civil War. It also seems a little too obvious.
He did say he's giving us a 3-pointer here at the end.
Charles Robinson. Mac from Night Court.
You got it.
Old
Charlie. How in the
Too bad that's not
fuck.
A question.
He's still alive.
Wow.
I'd say Battle of Gettysburg. Civil War.
Mm-hmm. That would be my guess.
Yeah.
All right, we agree. Battle of Gettysburg, Civil War.
You are correct in that it is the Civil War.
Okay.
But it was the Battle of Antietam.
Oh, Antietam.
The largest
Antietam.
The largest battle with loss of life in American life in history of the U.S. military is actually the Battle of the Bulge.
Over 5,000.
Yes, exactly. So... I'm glad that you guys got one of my war questions right.
Finally. Yeah, it's about time, right?
I was hoping you'd overthink it, kind of, and be like, no, it couldn't be the
Mark
Civil War.
Mark started going down that path.
I know
he's like,
I did.
It's too
I know
easy.
I know I did.
Classic novels, my last category for y'all. What classic novel was written in... Well, you know, I'm not going to give you the year yet. I don't know.
I want that year.
Oh, that year's yummy.
Bonfire of the Vanities.
What classic novel features a story within a story about a Florentine seducer named Lothario?
Merchant of Venice.
Okay. So I don't need a year. Does that sound right?
That's not a novel.
It's a novel?
Yes, classic novels, the category. What classic novel features a story within a story about a Florentine seducer named Lothario?
Lothario sounds like he's
Casanova?
Always tired.
Well, Lothario. I always thought that too. Lothario means someone that's kind of oversexed.
Oh.
Yeah. That's kind of goes hand in hand. Bit of a Lothario.
Yeah, the term comes from this story.
It's a story within the story. What's the thing with the guy with the nose?
Cyrano?
That's Shiloh. Oh, Cyrano de Bergerac.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think that's Florentine. I think it's French.
Maybe it's Don Juan de Marco.
I don't know.
Does it have to be a sexed up story? I mean, it's a story within a... Using the term story within a story.
Yes. So the characters in this novel hear a story. A story is related to them about a character named Lothario. So it's a story within this novel.
Okay.
Fuck these headphones. I'm done.
And it's
I quit. So you said the characters inside the story are
they're told a story by another character.
Okay.
Kind of like The Princess Bride, you know, where the grandpa comes and sits there and tells Fred Savage a story.
Yeah, so yeah, it could be one of those things. It's reminding me of The Watchmen with the comic book. The
Black Pirate. Curse of
The Black Freighter.
Oh.
Black Freighter. Yeah.
Harper Lee.
Oh, I'm joking.
So it could be something where it basically juxtaposes itself against a story. Can I hear the question one more time?
Yeah.
Where it's this is supposed to be giving you some insight into what you're going through.
What classic novel features a story within a story about a Florentine seducer named Lothario?
Could it be a book by Marquis de Sade?
He didn't write books. He wrote novellas. Okay. And none of them are classics by any means.
What about Lolita?
That's Nabokov.
That is Nabokov.
And I don't think he ever wrote anything about anything in Italy.
But it's saying that the are you saying the book is Florentine?
No, the character. Novel?
Yeah.
The seducer is Florentine.
And is Lothario. That the story within the story or is that the... Okay. Yeah.
The story in the story is about a Florentine guy named...
Lothario.
Lothario.
And it is where the term Lothario comes
guys, in. Guys, should we ask for the year?
Yeah, give me the year.
All right.
Give us the fucking year.
The year that this book was first published in was 1605.
Okay. It's freaking Merchant of Venice. It's a play, but it could be a book.
Kyle, what say you? This man seems Merchant of Venice talking some other book about some guy wanting to go around and fuck. He wants to get revenge nut, this guy. And they're talking about it in the story, and they're like, and then this guy got all angry and shot his revenge nut everywhere.
I mean, Shakespeare was in the 1500s, late 1500s, right? Ooh. I'm not 100% sure. I don't really know Shakespeare that well. But I think it's Merchant of Venice, I think, that Lothario is in. I'm just guessing.
There isn't any story within a story in Merchant of Venice.
I don't think so.
There's
I don't
a story really within know. A story in Hamlet.
Is there? I don't remember.
But is that a classic novel? I would not call that a classic novel. I wouldn't call them a novel
either. You're right. You do make a good point.
Hamlet, the omelet of Danish.
what would be the Danish of Danish?
Hamlet is an omelet with ham in it.
Yes.
I mean, what do you do when you go to a bakery in Denmark and ask for a Danish?
Waffle House.
Don't even say those words to me. Don't say those words to me.
I'm supposed to go home, but I want waffles right now.
Don't play this games. Is my revenge nut for you.
You're talking to a couple people that...
You're fucking with my emotions, Lee.
For real.
All right, what do we got?
Okay,
I can't think of anything.
Canterbury Tales, was that earlier?
No, that was way
earlier.
That
was early, wasn't
that
was, it?
And that was Thomas... what was his name?
Chaucer.
I'm so bad with time, I can't even imagine what was going on in the world in 1605.
1605.
I have no... Was that when Leonardo da Vinci was alive? I don't know.
He was in
I have no fucking...
1600s, I think.
Ooh, Star than story. God, what am I missing? Know. I'm missing somebody huge. I know I am.
You sure wouldn't...
Wait. Is it, no, maybe not. The Odyssey or something? That's way earlier,
that's
too, isn't it?
Homer, that's way earlier.
Is it one of those things, though, where it's actually...
It's the Bible.
Well, wait, when did Alexander Dumas
It's the friends
write?
We made along the way.
That
was 1700s?
That was in the 1700s, yeah. Okay. The Hunchback of Notre Dame and all that.
What was about, that was Victor Hugo.
But... You're right. I'm sorry. Alexander Dumas, don't say it was Count of Monte Cristo.
Yes.
Yeah, that was in the 1700s.
Alexander Dumas. Right.
Alexander Dumas. Well, I'm thinking it.
Okay, so then
what
I'm...
Is it? It's about a prison break.
But then who did...
Filed under
education. Oh, what about... what's the dude? Don Quixote? When was that made?
Cervantes was in the 1500s.
Okay.
Okay.
That's better,
I
though.
I see you.
But that's not it.
What else did
I've
he
I've read
write?
The better portion of Don Quixote. Yeah. Man of I've read a
did
lot
Did he do
of
Don Juan de Marco, too?
Well,
Cervantes?
I don't know.
Then I'm thinking Don Juan de Marco.
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I'm lost on this one now.
I got that Godfather blow that Don... Godfather flow that Don Juan DeMarco. Mary, that's Jay-Z. Referencing Jay-Z all over the place.
I don't know. I can't think of anything better than Don Juan. I mean, Hamlet. We'll Hamlet is actually a good guess because there is a story within a story there. But it's not a classic novel.
And it's
that's
in Denmark. Play. Hamlet's based
yes,
in Denmark,
but
right?
There is a story within a story and there about which could be a Florentine.
Well, I don't Florentine's remember in Italy.
I know, but I'm saying like it takes place in Denmark, but there is a play within a play in Hamlet, and I think the play is about a Florentine.
So Don Juan de Marco or Hamlet, which one? I'm okay with either one. Because I can't think of anything else.
I feel better about Don Juan because...
We're going with Don Juan. Is that okay, Mark?
Sure. Wrong.
The correct answer is Don Quixote.
Are yes. you joking me?
Yep. In part one, there is a section called El Curioso Impertinente, the man who is recklessly curious. And it is about a man named Lothario who is hired to try and seduce his nobleman friend's wife. And they end up falling in love. And the name Lothario or the term Lothario comes from this story.
How about making a beer place called Miguel de Cervezas?
I love it.
Isn't that good?
Yeah.
I just had that idea. Mm-hmm. And you could have giant windmills everywhere.
Yep.
And you can have someone riding a fake horse.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just put your mood as quixotic.
You can tag your mood as quixotic.
On LiveJournal. Mm-hmm. I remember being like, what the fuck is quixotic?
You can play episodes of Johnny Bravo where they go, Sancho Panza!
There you go. Perfect.
All right, Mark.
All right. Last question. I'm really struggling because I feel like I got some good ones here.
You have a kindred spirit now. You do. I feel bad about that one.
In which sport did the term hat trick originate?
Sports.
Did the term hat trick?
You got any ideas?
Originate.
What?
Well, it's most commonly associated with hockey, right?
That's what I thought.
But I feel that this might be a polo thing. Polo's kind of like hockey. But I think it predates hockey by...
Without the
it's like
ice.
Hockey on horses.
Yeah, hockey on horses. I think it's a polo thing.
Or the haircut. Or...
The ape drape.
You're going to say polo?
I'm going to say polo.
Marco.
Now,
Kylan,
I don't have any evidence, but I will say I've been nearly right three times.
I will say he's been nearly right three times.
And that's what okay. I'm going on.
And I don't know. I think it's hockey, but... If you're feeling good, you were good on other ones.
I have done a sports idiom bonus sheet before,
mm-hmm.
a trivia, and I think hat trick is on there.
Okay.
And I think I remember people getting, what?
All right.
Because it's not hockey.
You're the quiz daddy.
So my guess would be polo.
All right.
Let's do polo.
We're going with polo. I think it's hockey.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect. Hockey is also incorrect. The term first appeared in 1858 to describe H.H. Stevenson taking three wickets with three consecutive
cricket.
Deliveries.
Motherfucking
fans
cricket.
Held a collection for Stevenson and presented him with a hat bought with the proceeds. The term was used in print for the first time in 1865 in the Chelmsford Chronicle. The term was eventually adopted by many other sports, including hockey, association football, and water polo. It was first used, yes, in cricket.
Mm.
Cricket. And I love the fact... that they actually bought a hat for him.
Yes.
I think that's so... They all scrounged up their ducats and went and they said, excuse me, Mr. Stevenson, we got you this hat. And he's like, all right, cool, thanks, whatever. But yeah.
Okay, cricket, hat
cricket.
Trick.
Cricket,
not
hat
a
trick.
Hockey term.
I don't feel good about this round.
Well...
I don't.
It happens.
I just don't. It does
well,
happen.
Here's the best thing.
Seth, you...
It's over.
Yep.
It is. No, I've... Guys, you know I'm joking. I had a great time.
Thank you so much for joining us, you know, and complimenting our Lyrics to Go episode that you had me on.
I had a lot of fun. That was good, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We hope that...
It feels like a whole separate world away.
It does.
Yeah.
God! Okay. As soon as no one's talking about Kyle or to Kyle, she's like,
she sneezes.
A chew.
My allergies are driving me
I'm down. Allergic to not having the attention in the room. Bless me.
If you guys want to have Kyle Ian back, just send us an email. Just request her. We'll have her back on.
I'm going to end up getting kicked off the show.
All right. That concludes this episode
one
of No
day
Nonsense.
When we sit back with little Revenge Nut, we'll remember all the sneezes.
Revenge Nut, listen to mommy.
Remember the sneezes?
I still hate
night.
You.
You guys are going to go off and engage in marital coitus and create the little allergy being that will one day look back at us and say, Mom and Dad, that night? She couldn't stop sneezing, and Seth got everything wrong in the third round.
That's the way Mommy and Daddy made me.
I've got bad lungs because Mommy used to smoke asbestos cigarettes.
It was the asbestos, Mommy.
That concludes this episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. Seth, thanks again for joining us. Don't forget to check out Lyrics to Go, everyone. And thanks for listening. Please join us every Monday morning for a new episode by subscribing to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast on your favorite podcast platform. You can support the No-No in several ways, the easiest by sharing this episode on your social media accounts with your friends. You could also leave us a written review on your favorite podcast platform. By the way, Mark, we got a couple new reviews here.
Ooh.
We got Rustic Tidbits giving us 5 stars. The comment is, binging the whole thing. I started listening to the No Nonsense Podcast about a month ago. I'm more than halfway through the backlog now.
Holy shit.
I seriously can't stop listening. In the car, at work, on the computer, etc. Seriously, great podcast, guys. Keep it up. That's Dan from upstate New York.
That's amazing.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you.
And then we got a 4-star review.
Uh-oh.
That bastard.
We got docked a star. This is from Rotho. Rotho says, too dang long. I used to love this podcast, but the episodes are so dang long that I'm constantly way behind. There's too much sussing. I have to listen at 1.5 to two times because listening at normal 1x speed is like so slow.
It's so dang slow.
I love the questions Mark Lee and company ask, the miscorrections, the rate my questions. But cut the episodes back to 60 to 90 minute mark. Maybe introduce a time limit for sussing periods like you do for the IRL events.
I did suggest that.
Now,
a lot of the listeners say they don't mind the time.
I hate to say this, Rotho, but this is a personal problem. First of all, you don't need to be caught up on this podcast week to week. We don't talk about topical stuff. A lot of our questions are evergreen. So if you're a month or two behind, you're only missing out in that you can't talk about the episodes with other people, which I guess is annoying and stuff.
A lot of the listeners like it slow and long.
Yeah. I mean, to me, I used to listen to Dan Carlin's Hardcore History, the Howard Stern Show.
4-hour epics.
Yeah, some people, Rotho, are trapped behind their desks. They want long content. So we hope you don't mind listening to 1.5 or 2x speed. Or if you don't mind being behind a little bit, I'm sure you'll have like a road trip. You can knock out a couple episodes. But we ain't cutting it down. And we hope that you enjoyed these longer episodes, everyone. So yes, you can leave us a review. Please, 5 stars if you do.
Only.
And you can you can support us on Patreon by visiting our website, thenono.com, and clicking the support link at the top, which will take you to our Patreon page.
Thank you to our Patreon supporters, including our quiz daddies Tommy and Tim, our team captains Sean, Lydia, Gil.
It's Gil.
Oh, she can't be bothered.
I tried to rally everybody.
Fletcher.
I can't
Aaron,
start in the middle.
And David Holbrook. Thanks to our proverbial light keepers, Molly and Ryan, Nicole, Alex, Jenny, Christopher, Spencer, Caitlin, Manu, Mo, Nina, Michael, Matthew, Luke, Marissa, Justin, Hank, Nicole, Cooper, Carly, Elise, Josh, E. Lucas, and thanks also to our Rumpelstiltskins, but a little bit less than the other ones because they give a little bit less money. Kevin, Sarah, Tiffany, Allison, Paige, Kenya, Jeff, Efren, Steven, Michael C.
Mike the Creator.
Michael J.
Mike James K. Polk.
And Michael S.
Mike Straddling Straits of Turkey.
Oh, those notes paid off, Lee.
If you'd like to write us with a rate my question or miscorrection, you can do so at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com or call us at 1-929-356-6966. Please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Reddit at No Nonsense Trivia and on Twitter at No Non Trivia.
We have a Facebook group you can join as well. Just go on Facebook and search for the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast to join us there. Lots of cool stuff, lots of fun stuff. We'll tell you about when we're doing live trivia, and you can do it, and it's a good time. And finally, don't forget to leave us a rating on your favorite podcast service. Listen up, that 5-4-star guy.
Rafa. 5 stars only, please.
I'm begging you, Rafa.
Oh, my name. So until next time, No Nonsense listeners.
Have a great week.